Stop worrying about how many vegetables the guy's eating. They should have put some cranberry sauce in front of him that night. It's absolutely undisputed. He's never been very good.
Buccaneers fans, here is the sage of Tampa Bay sports. That's Ira Kaufman, Tampa Bay's only Hall of Fame voter, the custodian of Canton, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the Baron of Big Storm Beer. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. And the Ira Kaufman podcast marches on. April is approaching, but we got a lot going on between now and then, Ira. And Bill Curry Ford has plenty going on. They've got all sorts of great offers that you can take advantage of at BillCurryFord.com. They're matching your tax refund, doubling it. Information at the website. Sean Sullivan, the GM, he's got $500 for you if you want to custom order a vehicle. And it's very easy. They've got their concierge service online where they will guide you and answer your questions. No deposit, quick turnaround. And they've got certified pre-owned inventory that is top shelf and a big selection. Keeps growing. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Nationwide lifetime warranty on brand new vehicles. That's the way to go. The Sage himself drives a 2020 Cherry Red Ford Escape. And GM Sean Sullivan will help you personally. No joke. He will help you personally. Ask him for the Ira Kaufman discount. BillCurryFord.com. Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira, they are where you turn when you've got that disaster in your home. A flood that comes out of nowhere and you didn't realize it for days. You've got mold, water damage, storm damage, fire. Florida's Elite Restoration, call them 24/7. They're going to get out to your home or your business and give you a free consultation, free assessment of what's going on in the property. And they will, if you work with them, they will make sure you're not going to get ripped off by your insurance company. Owner Josh Martin, he's got 14 years in the business on the other side with the insurance companies as an adjuster. So he's going to know how to fight for you. And it's critical you call them first. Florida's Elite Restoration, kudos to them. They are dropping $1,000, $1,000, Ira. And it's not a gift certificate if you have mold. They're dropping $1,000 in cash on our great Joe Bucks fan listeners and readers as part of a prize package. Multiple prize packages at our draft party at Big Storm Brewery in Ybor City. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. The draft party is April 27th, 7 o'clock, Big Storm Brewery, Ybor City, Centro Ybor, upstairs. Follow Big Storm on all your social media. Big Storm Clearwater, Big Storm Odessa, Big Storm Ybor City, Amway Center in Orlando and in Cape Coral. Great food. Check out the menu. Big Storm beer is everywhere. It's in the stores. Try it. The Bromosa is fantastic. Their original, the Wavemaker Amber Ale, and they've got so many other beers, dozens. Look at them all at bigstormbrewery.com, Sage. And the draft party, Ira's going to be there, of course, as will plenty of other fans. We're excited to get out to Hillsborough County. And thanks again to Florida's Elite Restoration for hooking up fans. There's nothing like a good contest, our Pick the Pick contest. And Sean Sullivan will be out there from Bill Curry Ford. It's getting to be that time of year, Ira, and it's also the time of year where the Sage is hammering away on the phones, bugging people. Tell us about your latest telephone escapades, Ira.
Well, Steve, I'm working on an assignment for the official Hall of Fame program, which will be available to people this summer as Rondé Barber enters and gets his gold jacket. And I'm doing the profile on Rondé Barber. You know, they like to keep it to the people that made the presentation when somebody gets in, and I'm very appreciative of that. I've done this before. I've done the John Lynch profile and Tony Dungy and Brooks. So now I'm working on Rondé Barber, and of course, Rondé Barber's got, you know, around the antique, you have a history with Bruce Arians. He used to babysit them. Bruce Arians was a roommate with Rondé and Tiki's father, James Barber, and Bruce was married at the time to Christine. If somebody needed to watch the kids, you know, Bruce and Christine would do it. So he goes back, you know, since they were toddlers, since the Barber kids were toddlers. So I called Bruce up. First thing, you know, what'd you shoot, Bruce, 84 or 85? That's my question. He laughed. He says, raining like hell up here in Georgia, Ira. Raining like hell. Can't play. I said, what about tomorrow? No, rain. So he's frustrated. You know, he's frustrated. He can't take a 7-iron out. Then I asked him about, you know, Rondé and Tiki, and of course, He followed both careers very closely, and he's so proud of Rondé going across the doorsteps of Canton. And, of course, Bruce Arians will be in Canton in August in honor of Rondé Barber. I will be there with my lovely bride, just like I was for John Lynch. So, look, when I got Arians on the phone talking about the Barber twins, I might as well throw a buck question at him. So we talked a little Baker Mayfield. Now, the story is that Bruce Arians has had his eye on Baker Mayfield since, you know, Mayfield was in college. So I asked him about it, and this is what Bruce Arians said about Baker Mayfield, the newest Buck quarterback. Quote, great competitor, extremely accurate. I said, what attracted you the most to Baker Mayfield as a prospect? He said, I love this competitive spirit. He said he did a few Baker Mayfield games when Bruce was in the broadcast booth with CBS, and they had a Browns game on, and he did a few of them, and he was very, very impressed in game action. This is not in practice, in game action. He said, I loved everything about him. You know, Bruce would check him out, come in on a Thursday in Cleveland and see the team practice and sit down with him the night before the game and then watch him play. Said he was impressed about everything about him. Here's the quote, Steve and Lee. I said, is he a punk? He goes, no, he's not a punk. He's cocky. And at that size, you'd better be. You know, Mayfield's not 6'4". He's not. Yeah, he's cocky, but at that size, you'd better be. I asked him about the competition between Mayfield and Trask. Quote, Kyle is not going to give in. Not a chance. It's a great situation for the franchise. So, you know, apparently Bruce Arians has a genuine fondness for Baker Mayfield as a quarterback. Thinks he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, a couple of situations. And, you know, I don't necessarily disagree. Now, Lee, I'm not going to jump the gun here and say that the Bucs have an enviable quarterback situation. They do not, Lee. They do not. I share some of your skepticism about Baker Mayfield. This is me talking, not Arians. And, of course, we don't know anything about Trask as a professional, except that he looked up to Brady for 3 years. Well, that may or may not help him. We'll see. But, Lee, at least Mayfield's done a few things in the league. He had one good season. He played a couple of good playoff games. He did. But I'm with you, Lee. If it works, it's a shot in the dark. It's a damn shot in the dark. But it's probably one worth taking given the salary. Lee, the guy's got a little bit of a ceiling, a little bit.
My theory is four teams in, 15 months? That's just not good. I don't care if you're a garbage team like Carolina or a team riddled with injuries like the Rams. I just don't care. I can't think of any quarterback that went through that many teams and all of a sudden flipped the switch and he was good.
That's fair.
I also don't like, and the Bucs are very sensitive about this, I don't care, and Steve knows this too. If you don't know who your quarterback is in March, I'm going to lay cash you're going to suck in September and October and November and December.
Well, you know who agrees with you? The Vegas odds makers. It's an indication of how the outside people are looking at this Buck roster, and specifically, Steve, the quarterback situation. That's why they're picked to be in the basement. At this point, I don't blame them, Steve.
We hit this on the last podcast, and I just wanted to get your take, Sage, on what Arians had to say, and I'm not surprised. You know, it jibes with him wanting to coach the Browns. That he actually came out and said that in 2018. It was November 2018 on Tiki Barber's radio show. Said the only job I'd come out for is the Browns, and Mayfield was the quarterback. So it all fits together. And
that was a crazy quote, Steve. Right at the time, I mean, that was a nutty quote from Arians. You know, the only team I'd consider. Nobody could understand why he said that. You know.
Well, he had coached in Cleveland previously. He explained it. He explained it that he had been there previously. He really liked the town. His wife liked it, and he didn't say, I like Baker Mayfield, but he you know, the it was pretty obvious that if he's the quarterback whisperer, you got to like the quarterback in place. So it was a weird comment at the time. It always makes me laugh because then later Arians will say, oh, I wasn't even thinking of coming out of coaching until Jason called me. And it's like, dude, you said it publicly in November. What are you talking about?
Yeah. When did Arians say that about, you know, he'd come out of retirement for the Browns?
He said that in November of 2018.
Yeah, are we to believe that Light never texted him or called him, or there was absolutely zero communication between the two about maybe coming back to the Bucks? I doubt it.
That's not believable, Lee. That's not believable.
Yeah, so him saying that about Baker Mayfield, well, not Baker, but the Browns, that very easily could have been misdirection on purpose.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I would think that if Arians, after he made that comment on CBS, he said, quote, the actual quote is, only team I'd consider coaching. I'd imagine he got a text from Light saying, hey, you sure about that, buddy? You know, and that would be in November. So,
yeah, Steve, to Lee's point, by the middle, you know, or two-thirds into the 2018 season, to Lee's point, the organization had clearly soured on Dirk Koetter. I think everybody was convinced at that point he wasn't coming back.
Yeah, you were convinced Light wasn't coming back, Ira. But, hey, that's all part of Fun Bucks history, Sage. And Light did come back, of course, and Koetter got the boot. But that's how it goes. We've talked about it. Lee's mentioned it many times with the Glazers allegedly shopping for Lovie Smith's replacement after game one in 2015, after they were blown out by the Titans and Marcus Mariota.
Steve, that was the time that I believe to this day that there was some communication with between the Bucks and Gruden's agent. I think John Gruden was very much on the table up until a certain point. And then, of course, here comes Mark Davis. And Lee, we talked about it. He obsessed about John Gruden for 5 years. Was going to give him whatever he wanted, Lee, whatever he wanted. And that's what he did. He gave him whatever he wanted.
Did you see, by the way, Mark Davis's other connection to the Bucks recently?
Uh-oh, what do we got, Lee?
Well, he found a sap to take on some of the debt on owning a WNBA franchise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see.
And for those who don't know, Tom Brady bought a piece of the Las Vegas WNBA franchise, which Mark Davis used to own 100% of. Now he found someone to help take the debt off his hands.
All right, Sage. Ryan Succop. Ryan Succop got the boot. Not a surprise. I thought it would have happened sooner, given that they needed salary cap room. Maybe they tried to negotiate a lower salary for him. It's unclear, but bottom line is the kicker has been booted. Super Bowl kicker, gave the team 3 years, worked out extremely well. Last year, he struggled, 82% overall. They asked him to kick beyond his range. He didn't kick well from 50 yards plus. And I think ultimately, Ira, the bottom line is he is 36 years old. And the Bucks say they're trying to get younger. And I don't think there's much realism that Succop was going to improve this season. He might have been the same kicker, but that's where we are. Bucks are going to look for a kicker. Ira, what are your thoughts?
Steve, I'm glad you brought it up because, conflict, makes podcasts stronger. And this is where me and Mr. DeKemper will diverge. I think it's the right move. Take it easy, Lee. Don't scream at me. I think it's the right move. Look, the guy is a good kicker, you know, from 40 yards in. He's good. He ain't Justin Tucker. But he's good. Guys, I just think that his lack of range, which is undisputed, it's absolutely undisputed. He's never been very good past 50, and he's certainly not any good past 50 now. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. And, guys, I think it hurts. I think there are situations, maybe even deciding a game or two, possibly, where I think it's crimping the Bucks' style. And I think Bowles felt that way last year because he doesn't have any confidence in Succop. And it's based on the numbers and what Keith Armstrong tells him at the time. And they got to move on. And they're moving on. Now, Lee, before you weigh in, and I love it when you do, yeah, they've had a hell of a problem replacing their guy from 2008. You know, and it took them a long, long time. And they finally got Succop, who's reliable from a certain distance. And Jason Light keeps screwing up with kickers. Lee, My message to Light is simple. Go find one. Go get it right. Go find one. That's on you. If you can't do it, that's on you. The irony is Matt Gay, you know, just cashed a big check. That doesn't reflect well on the Buck coaching staff. What happened with Gay, I think that's less on Light than it is on the coaching staff. I can't blame Jason Light. Well, now this guy's developed into a premier kicker. Go find one. Lee, there's too many teams out there whose kickers are pretty darn accurate from 54 yards, and suck up is not, and I think that's a problem.
If you rely on a roll of the dice that a 50-yard field goal is, okay, it's a problem. I would suggest the problem is your offense is lousy. You shouldn't be kicking 50-yard field goals unless you have to, i.e., at the end of a first half or at the end of a game. Otherwise, it's a pretty good bet it's a turnover. If you can't kick a 50-yard, if you can't make a 50-yard field goal, that's a turnover, period. Get a better offense. Oh, by the way, why is Matt Gay not here? He can kick 50-yard field goals, but why is he not here?
Couldn't kick 40-yard field goals.
He couldn't kick the field goals you're supposed to make. In the NFL, most of your field goal attempts are not 50 yards. Suckup was excellent at that. Oh, by the way, he was the best kicker the Bucks ever had. So why are you getting rid of him? Because you play it too safe on offense, and you're willing to run the ball up the middle on third and second. Oh, okay, we'll just kick a 53-yard field goal. Oops, it's wide left. Now the freaking other team has the ball, and they only need two first downs to get a score.
I understand.
There's no way I can rationalize this. There's absolutely no way.
Sometimes your drive fizzles out on the other team's 37-yard line.
If you have lousy offense.
And it's 4th and 9. I mean, Steve, what are you going to do? You can't go for every 4th and 9 in the world and leave potential points on the board.
I just think this is a terrible move, especially given the Bucks' history with kickers. I'll say it. It's a dumbass move. It's a dumbass move. But I don't hear anybody whining if whoever the hell they come in is missing 35-yard field goal. Shut the F up. You didn't want him. I don't want to hear about it. All these people that are coming after my ass on our website, I don't want to see one of you SOBs whining about a missed game winner 35 yards out. I'll block your ass.
Steve, my answer is simple. go find a guy, Steve.
What the hell do you think they've been doing the last 10 years? They've had 13 freaking kickers in the last dozen years. Worst in the NFL. Hello? Maybe you should keep a good one. Hello? Hello?
He's good, but he's not. He's good, but they can do better. I think they need to do better.
No, they can't. There's no demonstration. There's no evidence they can do better. None.
It's a good.
Where are you, Steve?
It's a good argument. I'm sitting on the fence on this. I'll tell you why. Because Suckup turns 37 in September, it's a little problematic for a guy who didn't have the best year. He's getting older, and I don't think his leg's going to get stronger. But he was not a bad kicker, and he was very reliable from less than 50. Not less than 40, Ira, less than 50. I believe he was, I don't have it in front of me, I'll look it up, but I believe he was 11 for 12 from under 50. Now, you're not going to do much better than that, and you could argue, well, why was Bowles asking him to kick beyond his range? That's just stupid.
Bingo.
So I'd be all in Lee's corner if not for the 37 years old, because kickers don't last forever, and the Gay argument is very interesting, Ira, because in hindsight, can you really hang that on Jason Light when the guy the last 2 years literally has probably been the best kicker in the NFL over the last two seasons and has a Super Bowl ring on his finger? So was it Arians somehow? Arians had a kicking specialist, Chris Bonyol, in here. Did they mess with him a little bit? Did they not know how to handle a rookie kicker mentally? Some way, I don't know, but the guy leaves and he's just fine. I don't know if I can put that on Jason Light. So,
I said, Steve, I don't blame Light for Matt Gay.
I know.
You should give him credit. He made a good pick.
No, I know. That's why I mentioned it, because that's an interesting argument, because Lee's basically saying, hey, they didn't demonstrate they could get a kicker, but maybe it was just the coaching staff because they got a good kicker.
Go.
So, it's a different staff now, I guess, in some ways, but not necessarily, because they still have got Keith Armstrong in there at special teams coach, and he's proven that to be not very good, but he's still here. So I don't know. I hold out a little hope, Ira. I'll put it this way. I don't think Suckup's going to get a job so fast, and maybe they bring him back here for a lot less money and say, hey, if you want to compete, Ryan, we'll bring you back. Cheap.
You know, this is like, here's what this is like. And I saw this the other day on TikTok. There was some idiot on TikTok. The video came. I don't know how I found it, but I found it. It found me. Guy's trying to light a barbecue fire with one of these wasp trays where they have like a 10-foot jet stream. That's what this is like.
May I interject, Steve, just for a minute? Now, Steve, you love to say, well, we covered that on a previous podcast, and I did mention this on a previous podcast, but darn it, guys, I think it's worth repeating, and I'm going to say it again. It's my podcast, so I'm going to say it again. And I need you two guys to weigh in on this, because I'll tell you right now, I think it reflects poorly on the organization. I do. By that, I'm talking about, as we sit here, well, after the start of free agency, and freaking Donovan Smith is still waiting for somebody to reach out to him with enough shekels to interest him. And there's Leonard Fournette, gentlemen, as we sit here, waiting for somebody to show a little interest. Nobody's even talking about these guys. Throw in Byron Leftwich, Lee's favorite. The guy can't even get a job as a quarterback coach right now. And I'll kick it off by saying, in terms of Donovan Smith and Fournette, these are guys that played prominent roles, even last year, prominent. And the fact that you don't hear about them, they're still out there, everybody else getting scooped up, guys you never heard of, signing contracts. What the heck does it say about, you know, the depth of this roster and some of the roster spots on this football team? And it kind of cries out that Brady was camouflaging a lot of problems. Now, I don't want to say that because I didn't think Brady had a particularly good year last year. He wasn't bad, and he wasn't pedestrian, but he wasn't Tom Brady. So I don't really want to say that Brady covered up a lot of roster problems, but Lee, what is going on with Donovan Smith and Fournette? They can't get a nibble?
It's interesting, and it sort of makes Light's move look smart. You know, not only did they save money, they got rid of a couple guys that apparently there's not a bunch of interest in. I'll just take Donovan Smith, for example. We don't know if his agent is just telling him, hey, man, let's just lay back. Let's wait till July. Someone will get hurt. And your work will skyrocket because the people will be, you know, between a rock and a hard place. Either we got to overpay for Donovan Smith or we use some scrub. So that, you know, for all we know, that could be going on with Donovan Smith. With Fournette, who knows? I don't know. I thought maybe Belichick would come after because, you know, if you remember right, he was talking to Belichick and Brady texted him like, what the hell are you doing? You know, get back here. And I think 5 days later, he signed with the Bucks. So I'm a little surprised Belichick didn't come after Fournette. He may still be doing it, and we know Belichick doesn't like any agents talking about what he may or may not do. So that could be happening, but you know it's under a cone of silence. But it is interesting, and the longer they stay out there, the longer it reinforces Light's decision to move on from them.
Lee, Steve, two quick points before you weigh in, Steve. One, and I think it's worth noting, neither Smith nor Fournette are 33 years old. They got some wear and tear, Steve, but they're not old. They're not. You could argue they should be in their primes. They're not particularly injury prone. And my second point, which I think it's going to be tough to argue, their tape was lousy in 2022. Terrible tape, both of them. Smith probably had the worst year he's ever had.
Oh, yeah.
Fournette was replaced in midseason by a guy who didn't, you know, average very much more than Fournette was averaging. Steve, their tape sucked last year.
All right, Sagey, you got a lot going on there. First, I'll say I don't think the tape on Fournette is going to prove to be that bad. I mean, he caught 70-something balls, more than 1,000 yards from scrimmage. He was their leading rusher. He can still do some things on a football field. With Fournette, I'll say there's a ton of good running backs still out there. It's just a down year for running backs, because there's so many, supposed to be so many good ones in the draft that nobody wants to blink and pay anybody. So I will see how that shakes out. Fournette, I can't go there. Donovan Smith, he's earned, I looked it up while you were talking, Ira, he's earned more than $60 million playing for the Bucks. $60 million. So he should have a lot of money in the bank, earning a lot of interest. And I think it probably is more of a situation of he's probably told his agent or and vice versa that, hey, if you can't find me starters money, then I'm going to just put my feet up and wait till something happens. Let's wait till after the draft, or if somebody, you know, somebody gets a blows a knee out in the summer, because Smith probably doesn't want to sign. He's not looking to jump on a deal for $6-7 million. I don't know about that with Smith, but his tape isn't very good from last year. I'll give you that.
Lee, I don't know if I agree with Steve in terms of Smith telling his agent be patient. I think he's a very competitive guy, Lee, and he's been a good Buccaneer since he was drafted.
He is a competitive guy, and Steve knows more about this than I do, but he's very savvy when it comes to finances. Very savvy. So I mean, it wouldn't shock me if...
Like the Domacom soup, also very savvy.
Sort of. Yeah, I don't know if that wise or not, or has the connections that Sue has or not. You know, Sue's buddy with Warren Buffett. That's a good friend to have. But he's very savvy when it comes to finances, and it would not shock me what Steve's saying. That would not shock me at all. And again, it wouldn't shock me if his agent said, lay low, you know, someone's going to get hurt eventually, and your value will rise. So just lay low. Don't jump at the first offer. And I agree with Steve about Fournette, specifically his pass catching. I think he was top five in the league with yards after catch, not yards after carry. Yards after catch. He caught a lot of balls. So he's got some value there. Maybe he's being picky, but I don't think Fournette's tape was lousy. Smith's tape was lousy. And I don't know if it's because he was injured all the time. He started the season off injured. He actually confessed that his head wasn't in the game because he had something going on off the field. What that was, who knows. But no, he had a bad year last year. And like you said, Ira, it was his worst in the NFL.
Maybe in retrospect, his tape sucked for Fournette. I think that might be an overstatement. But I'll say this, guys. I think going into the last game of the season, and I think you might have had one in the last game of the season, or maybe even the playoff game. I can't remember. Although they didn't do much in that playoff game, let's be honest. He didn't have a 20-yard run going into like the last game of the regular season. He had a lot of carries. You know, it wasn't like he had 47 carries. He had a lot of carries. He didn't have a single 20-yard run. I guess my point is, Lee, we watched him very closely last year. He really didn't make people miss, Lee. Not that the holes were very good. They weren't. But, Steve, he didn't make anybody miss last year.
No, I mean, whenever he went outside, the minute someone touched his foot, down he went.
Hey, Ira, you think given the fact that Jason Light issued a press release when Donovan Smith left saying, you know, great thanks to his contributions to the organization and all this stuff, that if Smith can't find a job, that maybe they would bring him back on a cheap one-year deal?
I think it's unlikely. I think the wheels are in motion, and I'm not sure Lee's a fan of it, but I think the wheels are in motion for Tristan Wirfs. If anybody can make the transition, and there's been people that have made
transition. Ira, I got to ask you, hold on, I'm cutting you off. I know it's your podcast, I got to cut you off. You think, or someone's telling you this, it's starting to smell like someone's telling this to you.
What, that Wirfs is getting shifted to left tackle?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a great secret, Lee. I don't think that's a secret. I think they're going to try it. Doesn't mean it's going to be successful, but I think Wirfs is, you know, when OTA start, you're going to see him at left tackle. I think that's the plan. We shall see. He's certainly your best lineman. I want him at the most important position. If he can do it, Lee, if he can do it. So we will see, you know, maybe somebody would say, well, put Donovan Smith at right tackle. Not that easy. Last point I'm going to make, Lee, about Donovan Smith. I don't think it's a stretch to say he's better than half the left tackles in football. I mean, I'm not putting him in the top five. But there's a lot of teams he could start for, Lee, at left tackle. And I think it's a little disconcerting. Nobody's reached out from a team that him and his people think of, hey, I'm going to start at left tackle for this team and get a 3-year deal for good money. And it hasn't happened. Maybe he's going to wait for an injury, Lee, but this guy's not 33. I don't think you should wait around too much.
A lot of Bucks fans were wondering why the Bucks don't go after Jonah Williams. left tackle for or ex left tackle for the Bengals. He started, I think, 15 or 16 games, and he got hurt.
And then they signed Orlando Brown. They signed Orlando Brown.
They spent millions to replace this guy. Doesn't that tell you something?
I guess they didn't want to pay Jonah Williams. Lee, they think Brown's better. Now, Lee, I'm glad you mentioned that because our mutual friend Joe Henderson's not going to want to hear this because he's one of the great Bengal fans, Joe. And he grew up in Lebanon, Ohio, and he bleeds Bengal. You know, I follow the Chiefs very closely. Orlando Brown Jr., who, again, is like in his prime. He's like 27. And I think they gave up a number one pick to get him from Baltimore. And he played 2 years for the Chiefs. Lee, I think he's overrated. I think he's overrated. I watch him closely. I think he's far from elite. I think Bengal fans are going to find that out. And I think somebody could have Jonah Williams right now, Lee, and make him an offer. You can have him.
Yeah, I just think it's very telling that, you know, the Bengals spent millions to replace him. So I don't know why the Bucs would all of a sudden fall over themselves trying to get him.
You know, we love Henderson. And, Steve, last thing I'll say about Joe Henderson, I'm going to bring him up on my podcast. Boy, I've been around a lot of people. I started in 1976 in this industry. I've seen a lot of great people. He is super talented. The guy went from a sports writer to a government reporter. Lee, that's very difficult. Very
columnist.
And a columnist. He's good at everything he does. Now, let's not turn this into the Joe Henderson podcast, Stevie. Let's move on.
Sage, the Ford Bronco, everybody loves that thing. Gorgeous Ford Bronco. Ordering reopens. They've been very limited supply. Ordering reopens Monday, March 27th. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Get it done before the ordering banks at Ford close again. So when you're talking Ford Bronco, it's serious. Get to BillCurryFord.com. They've also got other 0% financing offers. Check it out, BillCurryFord.com. Grab yourself a Big Storm beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Big Storm Beer, Florida's best craft beer, brewed locally. And again, our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Just get there, read about it, bookmark it. When you have that ugly disaster at your home, you know what to do. Let them know the Sage sent you as well, and they'll give you $500 toward your services if you need them after your free assessment. Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
Hold on, Steve. I think it's worth mentioning to our listeners, our growing group of listeners. I think it's interesting that three of our cherished sponsors, Steve, Florida's Elite Restoration, Big Storm, and, of course, Bill Curry, Ford, they're all coalescing at the draft party, Steve. I think it's very interesting that we're going to have representations from all three. It's going to be one hell of a time. Steve, you might as well mention that date again because everybody's going to be there, Steve.
Draft night, everybody knows what that's all about. April 27th, Thursday night, first round of the draft, Big Storm Brewery in Ybor City. All right, Ira, I got to ask you this because I think it's relevant, and maybe it's not too much, but the Buccaneers, it was reported that they were chasing a safety by the name of Nick Scott in free agency, a guy who ended up getting $4 million a year. So that tells me, and he got it from the Bengals. Now that you mentioned the Bengals, it reminded me. So Nick Scott played for the Rams. He was a 2019 late round draft pick, a safety who had got his share of starts, and now he's got a 3-year deal with the Bengals. What does it tell you, though, if the Bucs were chasing a starting free safety?
It tells me, Steve, something I've been saying on this podcast for a while now, and I'll reiterate. Todd Bowles, Lee, former position safety, was known as a very intelligent football player. Knows the ins and outs of the safety position. They've lost some people. Mike Edwards, he didn't step up. He's gone. Winfield's not going anywhere. What it tells me, Lee, specifically, Todd Bowles wants to land somebody that he can depend on in the slot, in the nickel. Their days of trying Winfield there are over. It's not a good fit. No knock on Winfield. It's a very unique skill set. Of course, who characterized it better than anybody in NFL history? Rondé Barber. That's why he's getting a gold jacket. To ask to find another Rondé Barber, that's pie in the sky, Lee. But that's what Bowles is looking for, a dependable, versatile defensive back who can specialize as a slot corner. Hard to find, Lee. Real hard to find. They tried Winfield, came up a little short. No big deal. Winfield's not going anywhere. He's one of the best players on this team, and Bowles knows it, and Bowles says it. Hasn't lost any faith in Antoine Winfield. His role's going to change a little bit. That's fine. They're looking for a nickel back, just like a lot of teams. And I'd be surprised if they don't take one with one of their premium picks, rounds 1 through 3.
All right, Sage. The Sage has spoken on that.
Well, Keanu Neal was talking with the Eagles last week. Yeah. And earlier this afternoon, the Eagles signed a safety. And it was not Keanu Neal.
You know, Keanu Neal didn't play badly. He made some plays last year. He made some plays.
He sort of like Jordan Whitehead, a big hitter. He made some plays. Keanu Neal wasn't good enough to start, but I think they'd bring him back if the price is right, I'm guessing.
I agree with that.
A couple of pieces of business before I hit you with this final question, which I think is important. I'm pretty sure it is in some ways. A couple of pieces of business. This week ahead is the NFL owners meetings out in Phoenix. A plethora of news will be flowing. Jason Light talking, Team Glazer, as well as Todd Bowles. So we'll have a lot to chew on in the coming podcast soon. Really looking forward to that. And of course, you can find the podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, all kinds of outlets, and at joebucksfan.com. But when I say the word podcast, I think of Bill Curry Ford and the Best in Class podcast, which is Sean Sullivan's draft breakdown this time of year. He broke down 20 running backs, Ira, in the last episode of Best in Class, and you can find that on the platforms. Just great stuff from Sean, and 20 running backs in 32 minutes, so it's a good sprint if you want to know what's coming out in the draft.
Here you go, Ira. I want you to respond to this real quick. Warren Sharp, you know, he's a handicapper and he's a stats nerd.
Yeah.
He did some research on the draft. In the past 5 years, only 3 teams have had more snaps from guys they drafted than the Bucks in the last 5 years. And if you throw in that, you know, the last couple drafts, have, especially two years ago, hasn't been a great draft for the Bucks. I think that says a lot. That of the last 5 years, only 3 teams have had more snaps from their drafted players than the Bucks.
There's no question about it, Lee. Jason Light and his staff, they got a lot better. Lee, as the years went on, they got a lot better. That Vernon Hargraves draft, Steve, I forgot what year it is, 2016 or something. That was a terrible draft. I mean, that's a zero draft. but Jason Light and his guys got a lot better. And they really hit some big ones, you know, Winfield, of course, Wirfs. I mean, big ones. Godwin, you know, the jury's out on Devin White. I'm not ready to throw Devin White out. Carlton Davis, good player. Jamel Dean, good player. You know, the last 2 years, we'll see. I'm not going to judge Logan Hall yet, Lee, and neither are you. But I will say Joe Tryon is in the spotlight. He is, and he deserves it. Year three, you're not going to get much chances past year three.
Lee, I just wanted to throw out there that the Bucks. I don't disagree with that stat, but if you look at the teams with the most snaps over the last bunch of years, the Bucks in the Brady era have a ton of snaps, and part of that, I think, is that teams didn't run on the Bucks for a while because they couldn't run on them, and then, of course, the Bucks are throwing the ball left and right, so part of that skewed a little bit because a Bucks game means a lot of snaps. But it doesn't take much away from Jason Light and that they've been relying on a lot of rookies. All right, Ira, I got to throw this at you. So Mark Dominic jumps on Sirius this last week.
You know, that's like the first line of a joke. Two guys walk into a bar or something. Unbelievable.
So he wasn't talking about the Bucks, but I like to listen to Dominic because every once in a while he'll reference an old story with the Bucks, and he does it more and more because more and more time has passed. You know, he's not worried about saying something about somebody. So he says, literally, I'll sum it up quickly. He says on the air that he's talking about the draft, and he's the SiriusXM NFL draft guru for the second year in a row. Does a good job with it. He says that when players used to come for their top 30 visits to $1, He used to like to have him in small groups because Dominic liked to study how the guys interacted with each other. And he would send him into the cafeteria for dinner at $1. And he would say, hey, guys, we'll see you in an hour and a half upstairs. Be here at 8 o'clock and then we'll get you back to the hotel room about 9:45. We're going to be doing this and this and some one-on-ones and whatever. But it was a sham for the hour and a half that they would spend in the dining room. The servers in the dining room were all front office interns or scouts that didn't travel, so they could listen in on the prospects. And Dominic would set it up where at least one guy that he was targeting would get the wrong meal, totally get the wrong meal served to him. And he wanted to see how the guy would react. And Dominic said, if the guy didn't send the food back, he didn't want to draft him. Because he thought that if somehow the guy ordered a steak, but he got the chicken, if it looked nice and he kept the chicken and didn't speak up, then maybe that's a guy who's not going to speak up in the locker room. And I like listened to it a couple of times, a third time. And I'm like, what is Dominic talking about? This is not how you gauge good players in the draft. But Dominic, you know, felt strongly about that. You want that guy who's going to be respectful and speak up and say, you know, I ordered the steak and not the seafood. What do we need to know about this, Ira?
Lee, we finally have an explanation for the drafting of Myron Lewis, Lee.
He stole my one-liner.
I'm sorry, Lee. oh, my God. I mean, you know, Lee, just watch a little more tape, Mr. Dominic, and stop worrying about how many vegetables the guy's eating. You know, Dominic, you know, look, he drafted Levante David, right, Lee? You got to give him that. He did.
Yeah, and that, after that, it was slim pickings.
Slim pickings. Steve, it's another explanation for the lost, it wasn't a lost decade, it was a lost 12 years, basically, and that's part of the reason, and you know, there were a lot of bad picks made before Jason Light ever stepped foot in Tampa. Do I have to mention Gaines Adams, Mr. DeKemper?
And by the way, you mentioned Joe Tryon a little earlier. Gaines Adams has better numbers than Joe Tryon. Yeah. I'm not making that up.
I mentioned Myron Lewis. I thought I'd get your attention with that one.
You did. My one-liner was, I wonder what Myron Lewis ordered.
Guys, there's one thing that really it was so mind-blowing that I didn't include it in the story that I wrote about this Dominic commentary. Believe it or not, Ira, Lee, Dominic said on the air that Josh Freeman was not somebody he brought in a group interview. Instead, Freeman came in solo and they took him out to dinner with Jeff Fain, the former center, and got to know him and wanted to get Fain's take on him. Fain was a real sharp guy, Notre Dame guy, and see if they would have some chemistry. And Dominic said on the air that he thought maybe things might have gone differently in Tampa. Maybe things wouldn't have happened the way they did if he brought Freeman in for an interview, brought him into $1 with four or five other guys and had a dinner like that. I don't know what to say.
I'm not going there with Josh Freeman, but I will say this, Lee. The 2010 draft, I'm looking at it, which I believe was Dominic's second year as Bucks GM and Raheem's second year as coach. They had the third pick, Lee. They took Gerald McCoy. Solid pick. Solid pick. Yeah. No problem. Yeah. No problem. Here's some of the picks after it. Ryan Price, remember that guy?
And before he got hurt, he was a complete animal. I can't circle him as an example of Dominic's inability to draft because before he got that weird injury, I'll never forget him at practice. He was an absolute animal.
Steve, didn't he have some personal issues, Brian Price, or am I wrong?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had a bunch of personal issues. There was, I think he got into a fight with Mark Barron afterwards. Like after he left the Bucks, he got into a bunch of trouble. But I know what Lee's talking about, too.
They should have put some cranberry sauce in front of them that night, and they would have known all about Brian Price. You know? And Lee, the famous Aurelius Ben.
Blew out his knee, and he was never the same.
Myron Lewis and Antoine. Guys, we remember this guy. The guy had talent. Mike Williams, the receiver out of Syracuse, but he was a nut job, right, Lee?
Yeah.
He's a nut job.
Yeah, there was a reason why he went so late.
So, Steve, I guess what I'm saying is the psychological profile that Dominic was so interested in, he flunked it himself.
Dominic must, he should have been a private investigator or worked for the FBI or something, because he loved espionage. Steve, did he not go on NFL radio once and brag about, I think the guy's name was Blackman, a wide receiver from Oklahoma State who was a drunk. Jacksonville picked him up in the first round. And Dominic admitted that, you know, he thought about drafting him, and he had one of his scouts stake him out at a bar.
Steve, you really can't make some of this stuff up, Steve.
No, Lee's on the money with that one. And with that, Ira, we're out of here. We'll be staking you out at the local Steak and Shake, like we usually do, and Dunkin' Donuts and all your haunts. And we'll be back for some fun this week. All right, hang in there, Ira, and say goodbye to everybody.
Thanks, guys. And the next time we do this podcast, Lee, we're going to have the latest views from Todd Bowles, Jason Light, perhaps Joel Glazer, on the state of the Buccaneers.